man, Homegrown Radio. Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head up West Coast. Here, man. It's been a year, almost a year. So my man, it's been back, man. He's got a new album, Price of Admission. The homie High Tone is back.
High Tone,
oh, man. Tone. Top of the food chain, repping
What's
all
up,
day.
Tony?
My name Tony.
Yo, welcome back, man. Appreciate you coming on through, man. We've been obviously witnessing the progression, you know what I'm saying, seeing the moves that you've been making, and proud is an understatement, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Thank
so we're glad to have you back up in here, man.
And I'm blessed to be here again, bro.
Absolutely.
Honestly.
Now, for the folks that are seeing, hearing your voice possibly for the first time, man, go on and give them a little brief rundown of who High Tone is exactly.
Man, first and foremost, High Tone is a normal person just chasing his dreams. I'm from a little city called Covina, that just has a vision, bro. I'm just out here trying to make something of myself and just following my passion and my dreams. You know what I'm saying? And that's what this is about. It's life in general is about finding who you are and chasing that until you get to where you want to be. And that's what High Tone is, creative entrepreneurship.
There you go.
Now, the last time we talked, you had the project No Xanax Needed, which we really fucked with, at least me specifically, on the strength of, for me at that time, I just got on my sobriety kick, right?
Yeah.
So to see you come in and do that kind of same thing, you know, with the Xanax specifically, it was something that I needed to see at the time. Yeah. I don't think you even knew at the time. Like, right at that moment, I'm like, damn, this is dope. He's really going at his dreams and chasing the shit that he loves in the business and in the industry. Yeah. That's not the norm. You know what I'm saying? Talk about... I want to kind of backtrack on that, like that, though, those moments of you making that decision and the ups and downs that you had to go through. And then obviously now it's paying off and the things that you're seeing on the upside because of that.
Yeah, it's crazy that you brought that up because it is it's almost like a year from now.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, I don't know if you guys know, but Homegrown was my first real interview coming off of NXN and my depression and my, you know, my sobriety at that moment and just the anxiety. So I was in this restroom. You guys had another guest before me and there was probably a good dozen more people in this building that day.
Yeah.
And I was in that restroom looking in the mirror, bro, like wetting my face and I was going through my own struggles before
That's
I even
crazy.
Walked into
at that
this
moment.
Building, bro.
Wow.
And it's crazy, like when I pulled up right now, I literally told my manager, Gentry, I said, it's crazy what a year could do.
Ooh,
it's crazy what a year could do to your mind, your soul, your heart, you know, and everything around you, because now I'm pulling up here feeling comfortable, feeling at home, you know, with you, with Head, and with everyone at Homegrown, and it's like, I can't believe that life is like that.
Yeah.
Life at times could just throw you a curveball.
Absolutely.
And it's either you're going to try to hit it, and sometimes we miss.
Yeah.
Like Puig did last night, you feel me?
Oh, my God.
And we'll get into that.
Yeah.
But,
dog. Yeah.
That's what life is, bro.
Yeah.
They throw you all these type of things, and sometimes you hit it out the park.
Mm-hmm.
Other times you make contact, and other times you strike out, bro.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it was all a good thing, bro, because you're going to learn from your mistakes and get to where you want to go.
Yeah, and I think that's important that you say that, too. Life is about those balances, those ups and downs, and people don't talk about that. They talk about, you know, everything being great after you go off. It's like, no, you have those moments where, in some cases, you relapse. You have those things where you fall back down harder than when you did before, but that's all a part of the story, and that's all a part of the price
of admission.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what I love
West
about
Coast.
That, bro. I love that that's the title of the album. What other things do you feel like you've paid the price to get to this point? Everybody's obviously, you know, in your corner. A lot of people, you've had the team obviously there from day one, but a lot more people, like when we go on Instagram Live and we're at the station, a lot of people are championing for you. And I love
a lot
to
of pyramids
that.
In my
a
live stream.
A lot of red pyramids happening, and it's dope to see that, man. But talk about the shit that you had to do to pay that price of admission to get to this point.
Everything, bro. I dedicated my entire life for this moment right here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And not to say this is the peak.
Of course.
This is a stepping stone and a step to where I'm going to go.
Uh-huh.
But I paid the price to sit in and do this interview with you guys.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of time that I took to perfect my craft, mm-hmm. I could have been anything I wanted to in this world. I could have been a pilot.
Yeah.
I could have been a doctor. I could have been a teacher. I could have been anything.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my calling.
Yeah.
This right here, talking into this microphone and connecting with the audience and people that feel the same way I feel. I feel like God gave me this.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like this is what I'm here for, you know. And we all pay the price to do everything we want to do in life, bro. I mean, from the smallest things to if you want to go eat at your favorite restaurant, bro, you are sitting in line waiting for that meal that you've been craving for a month.
Yeah.
Everything is a wait. Anything that is good takes time, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And everything I've done up to this point has been a line for me, dog. Like, nothing has been easy, bro.
Yeah.
Everything, dog. And I feel like that's why I took the initiative to just go out and get it, bro. Like, too many of these young cats and even older cats still to this day have their hand out and think that this thing's going to fall in their lap, bro, and it ain't.
Yeah, not
like,
at all.
And when you look at me, like, bro, I learned how to make flyers because I didn't want to pay someone $150 to make my flyer, bro.
Do your own shit.
You feel me? Like, yeah. I learned how to upload my music through Spotify and through SoundCloud and through... These people gotta get smart and stop... Their hand cannot continue to be out, bro.
Yeah, no. And, you know what I'm saying? And that's the thing that I feel like... and that's not just artists, but just in general. People tend to think of life that way, like... Oh, I can show up and things are just magically gonna appear. It's like, no, you still gotta put in the work. And then even when you're dope, you still gotta wait. You still certain things that you can't even see. There's a reason why you have to pay that price. The reason why you gotta kind of hold off. It's certain things that align that you may not know. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know for you, with things happening right now, if you just imagine yourself, you've been in the game since what, 2010, right? You dropped your first project in 2010. Yeah. Let's just imagine shit popped off for you then. Do you think you would have been ready for everything that came at that moment,
bro?
All those
if
interviews.
If I didn't go through them dark times, and if I didn't go through all them days I sat in front of this thing and watched the Grammys and watched the, you know, AMAs and all them, that feeling, like, if this happened to me 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been ready, bro. I would have threw it all away, dog. I would have threw it away on drugs.
Yeah.
I would have threw it away on women. I would have threw it away on things that don't really matter.
Yeah, right, right.
And too many people are in this game for things that do not matter. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's cool to have chains and a nice watch and money in the bank and a nice whip, because we all, like, humans want that. That's something we all feel like hard work is gonna get us. Mm-hmm. But when you learn what the underlining to peace and love and success really is, then you'll be able to enjoy those things with the material things, because life is about balance. It's a yin yang, bro. It's figuring out how to play but still work.
Yeah.
It's figuring out how to smile but still cry. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Without balance.
Yeah, that's all this world is about, bro. Once you learn that, homie, you're going to get far.
So do you feel like that's still the thing that you're constantly, you know, dabbling with as an artist? I mean, because at this point, people see on the gram, they see the success, they see the shop doing well, they see, you know, you doing a lot of other things business wise they see the sold out shows, they think, oh man, High Tone popping, he's made it. You know what I'm saying? In your mind, you know, and you can kind of speak on this as well, you have other lists and other goals and other things that you want to do as well. How do you not get complacent when the things that you've worked for so hard 10 years ago are finally manifesting? You doing freestyles with Sway. You know what I'm saying? Like, getting some time with the local stations here in LA and all across the nation. Like, it's easy to get complacent at that point and say, I've made it.
Easy.
You know what I'm saying? So how do you, at this point, say, nah, there's more I want to do? How do you keep yourself motivated at that point?
Because I was always taught, bro, that the minute you let your foot off of the gas is the minute that next person will pass you up.
Oof.
And if you always have that in your mind, and you don't have to go full throttle 110 on the freeway,
aggression,
but as long as you continue moving forward, you'll never be complete. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you won't settle. Never settling for less is a quote that goes with my brand, Top of the Food Chain. Like, a lot of people get one place and they start enjoying it.
Yeah.
But I always look at it this way, like, how long did it take? If it took you 10 years to get here, well, then remember how long that took you, because you want to enjoy it for 10 years.
Oh, my God.
You feel
so
me?
True.
Like, you don't want to enjoy it for a year.
Moment,
I always tell myself, I didn't work for my dreams to live out my dreams a year. Mm-hmm. I worked for my dreams to live my dreams out 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You feel me? And that's my mentality. And I feel like, you're born with that. I feel like that's instilled in you. Like, there's a lot of people that you can drill that in their head every day, bro, and they don't care, bro. Right, they're not gonna. It's gotta be in you, bro. Absolutely. The hustle's gotta be in you, and that's what it is. Like, I pray every day, like, don't ever let me lose my hustle. Don't ever let me lose, you know, my humbleness. Don't ever let me lose my balance, my wisdom. Like, everything collectively makes you you and makes you powerful.
Now you're also the voice, man.
I am the voice.
Bruh, I'm gonna tell you the first time I heard that shit, I said, oh yeah, he's on his shit. And I love the confidence that you had in it. I love the visual that was behind it. And I love that was the first song to come out to really kind of represent the next movement as for what's going on. Talk about why that particular song was so important. And we'll definitely dive in, you know, you being Mexican and holding that flag and holding it down and really speaking up for a lot of voices that can't be heard at this point in hip hop and just in general.
Yeah, I think it was obviously people are going to look at the voices like, he is the voice for his people and he's representing who he is and his background and his ethnicity and for his people. Mm-hmm. But it was bigger than that for me because right now I feel every single person in this country's voice is powerful. Mm-hmm. And it's how you use that power and it's how you use your voice. Word. And I felt like if I inspired not alone my people to use their voice, but other people that loved me. Like, right. I'm Mexican and you're black.
Yeah.
But just because you felt I was repping for my people, that could have sparked something in your head. And you said, you know what? I'm proud to be who I am.
Absolutely.
But I also love High Tone too because he is Mexican.
Absolutely.
Like, it ain't just all up. You rep who you are, but you also embrace who you're not.
Right.
And I feel like that's the most important thing because when you understand that you still got to embrace everybody else in this world. Mm-hmm. You're not going to segregate.
Right.
You're just bringing power and inspiration to other voices and cultures in this world.
You know what it really reminded me of? Shout out to the homie Charlamagne Tha God.
Yeah.
It reminded me of his book, Black Privilege, right? Because everybody was up in arms about what black privilege meant. And his whole concept was like,
they gave him a lot of shit for that.
Nah, I happen to be black, so I'm going to exercise my black privilege.
Yeah.
But you as whoever you are, you can be a woman. Exercise your privilege to be a woman. It's recognizing the privilege that you have in whatever situation you are.
Definitely.
And use that to boost to the next level where you're trying to go. And that's exactly how I felt. Like, of course, the surface value, of course, yeah, you repping for the Mexicans, but that's your voice. I didn't take that as, oh, well, I can't get some inspiration off of that because I'm not Mexican. I'm like, no, he's using his voice to represent for his people, and you can draw from that and grab that inspiration as well.
Yeah.
So those are that's the parallel that I got from that. And I'm glad you said that because it's exactly how I kind of figured that, bro.
Man, that means a lot to me. And it just goes to show you how powerful we really are, bro, as a human race.
Yeah.
To where I can be over here and say something, but I can make you feel that same way over here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what's so great. It's I feel like, we just, you know what I'm saying? Like, even in the schools, like, from Higher Learning, that movie back in the day with Cube, it was like, that's Disneyland over there. That's Chinatown over there. I feel like we watch that and we instantly, like, go, you know what? Yeah, we are different and we need to separate ourselves. But at the end of the day, we all bleed red.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We all have pain. We all cry. Mm-hmm. Like, we are really the same people when we're skeletons, bro. You strip you down from your skin, you look just like me.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And that's just what it is,
real
bro.
Shit.
Like,
yeah.
Like, it, once again, be proud of who you are, but embrace who you're not. And that's the quote right there.
But it is still things that you got to deal with in this industry. I'm going to just go off the first line. They said, if I was black, I would have blew up. They said, if I was white, I would have blew up. You know what I'm saying? Like, Starting that fucking song off with that was such a punch to the face of like a lot of people to for you to come in and deal with those realities. Like,
that's just real.
And that's the fucking reality of this shit, man. And I want you to kind of help me. Like, my thing is this, right? LA is so, it's populated with Mexicans, right? This is the home, right?
Yeah.
To me, it still baffles me why not only this conversation still comes up, but why people still fucking struggle. You know what I'm saying? Kind of talk about some of the things that you've dealt with specifically where you're like, man, look, we're dominant out here, and we still, like you said, can't get no love on the radio. We still can't get certain things like that you go through and pressing through that and still, you know, doing what you need to do.
Well, first off, it's because when you look at the Mexican culture in LA, the first thing that comes up in your head instantly is the gang related
right.
stuff, yeah. the cholo stuff,
yeah.
and it's instantly been our look
yeah.
for decades.
Right.
So with that look and with that culture and background of music, the minute you think of a Mexican rapper, you think of a cholo rapper.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's what you do, and that's okay. Like, and I feel like that's where it's really been hard to bridge the gap, because we as a culture, that's our culture.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, homies in and out of prison, right. homies in gangs, family in gangs, in and out of prison. Like, my whole family gang bangs, and it's cholos.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm this kid from Covina who was surrounded by that skateboarded, that wasn't a cholo, that instantly got labeled a cholo. And then when you start talking about getting tatted,
yeah,
now it's like, oh, he raps too?
Right.
Oh, he probably sounds like whoop-de-whoop.
Insert,
so
right.
that's the only thing, because it's sad to say, but we've dug ourselves in that hole.
Yeah.
And now it's time for the world to go, but not everybody's
like
there.
That. Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if he stole some, don't mean just because you're that color, you steal some.
Yeah.
Or you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, no. That's just what it is. But we've been stereotyped forever.
Forever.
And that's all this is. But music was created, bro, to be judged off the ear and not the eye. So it's like, why do we continue to put people in a race category of music
yeah.
and just say, is it good music or it ain't, bro?
Right.
Do you like it? Do you not? Like,
right.
why do you gotta say, oh, he's a Mexican rapper?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Kendrick popped, did you say, oh, he's the hottest black rapper?
Right,
you
right,
didn't
right.
say that.
I didn't say that.
Yeah.
You said the dude is the hottest rapper in the game.
Absolutely.
You didn't put his race before because
so
it
do
was
you think,
normal.
So do you think that it's normal for rappers to be assumed, like let's say if you say, oh, the hottest rapper in the game, is it normal to automatically be like, oh, he's a black dude? Or
I mean, yeah, let's
but
just
actually, because that's why people always say that, like, even that the reason why I'm talking about this is because recently the Eminem shit has been going on, and everybody has been like, Eminem is gearing up to drop some shit, and when he did a freestyle at for the BET
yeah,
ciphers
yeah, yeah.
and shit like that, people are like, well, Eminem is the best white rapper, right? Don't you think that's always been the case though? Because
sure, but Eminem's the one that broke down the door and opened it up for cats like G-Eazy, Macklemore, you know, Mac Miller. Like, it was
well,
okay.
I mean, before
after that
you had Beastie Boys,
but it's a that was not they were still alternative rock rap. Like, it
gotcha.
Was never
it was not rap.
It was never like, did the Beastie Boys do a record with Jay-Z?
Lyricism.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
So
right.
Eminem, there has to be someone in the culture that opens the door up for everybody else in this culture.
Even
Eminem
like
did that.
You think of like MC Search and shit like that. Like, it was there, but it wasn't to the mainstream that
it wasn't like what
Eminem,
what they
right.
did with M, bro.
Right. He had the machine behind him. It was
gold. To the masses, yeah. dog. And like I said, I'm not the first that feels this way,
yeah.
and I'm not the first of my kind to rap. And there's millions of dope, talented, even before my time, bro. Mm-hmm. And I pay homage to them because they have tried to pave the way mm-hmm. that we are still paving. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that when you get on the freeway, dog, and you're like, 4 years later, they're still
yeah.
doing control. How mad do you get?
Hell yeah.
So now that's what I'm
mad
in.
As a rock.
That's
right,
what
right,
I'm
right,
in. Like,
right.
bro, these dudes were doing this 10 years ago and the
yeah.
freeway still ain't open.
Mm, gotcha.
Homie, like, the freeway still closed.
So when you say the dudes that came before you, you're talking about who specifically?
I mean, Light as Shade of Brown, Kid Frost. Mm. Like, I'm talking OGs
OG
like
Mexican.
That.
Yeah,
right, that right, right, actually. Really, like, we're
on some hip hop shit.
We're breaking the door for mainstream rap.
Yeah.
yeah.
At that time, you know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
You're
and
right.
that's all it is, bro. It's like, why is it still a fight? Like,
hey, you know what? I ain't gonna front though. When I get on the freeway, you know how you be leaving the club or something? It'd be like 2 o'clock in the morning, and it just be dumbass traffic. You be like, what
the fuck
is going on right now?
Yeah.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Goddamn
right.
it!
It's 2017,
and then, homie. And then you merge to one fucking lane, and you realize, oh, they paving the side,
yeah.
or they picking trash. Like, get the fuck off the freeway,
yeah. Like, bro, don't you know we go out and turn up at
right.
night, and we're trying
you
to get.
You know
home?
This shit happens every
like,
week. Like, come on,
I'm
now.
Trying to get the jacket, but I understand like what you're saying as far as that. That made it clear.
That's
yeah.
just the you know the metaphor on that. But at the end of the day, it does all consist on me. I feel is talent, is passion, and drive, bro. Like, And it don't matter who passes me up, shuts me out, bro, because I'm still going to do what I love.
Absolutely.
Bro. And I feel like that's the main thing with Price of Admission, is to let people know, bro, on this way and this journey, there is going to be trees that fall in front of your road. Mm. Now, are you going to be the type to get on Waze and are you going to get out the car, move the tree, and go forward? Like, what kind of man are you? What kind of woman are you?
Right,
you feel me?
Do you think that the business side of you allows you to have that mindset? Like, instead of worrying about the stereotypes, instead of worrying about all these things, like, you going out there and getting your hands dirty and showing people, yo, this is me. Fuck what the perception is. This is how I'm going to do as myself as an artist. Do you think the business side kind of tapped into your mental in terms of figuring that out? Or is that something that's always been in your DNA from birth?
Yeah, I think it's just been in my DNA, bro. Like, I think the passion, first off, outweighs the business savviness of me. And then the business part of it came with the passion.
It just,
you know what
I'm
saying?
The extra armor and shit.
And
your business is ridiculous.
Thank you.
You know, now, here's the thing. Like, to touch on what Chuck was saying, your business acumen is on point. Like, you remind me of a lot of what Nipsey is doing.
Oh, big time.
You know what I'm saying?
And I respect him.
Yeah, and I think that's crazy that a lot of people who came even before us, before our movement and our generation, like, didn't really do that. Like, I know, like, people had barbershops and this and that, but I'm talking about taking this shit to a whole nother level, to where, you know, what you doing with your merchandise and your store and your movement, and then what Nipsey's doing with, even with the smart store, that's a whole nother motherfucking, whole other shit.
He's a different breed.
Yeah, and I think that it's dope because a lot of people who follow you are looking at, like, oh, shit. Okay, well, I seen Tone do that, I'm gonna do this. Or you know what I mean? Like,
some dude sent me a snap the other day and said, "Hey, bro, I just want to like show you what kind of monster you created." And I was I'm wondering. So he started sending me pictures on Snapchat. His own t-shirt brand. He opened up a barbershop. That's said, "Hey, homie, I got TFC tattered on me 7 years ago."
Wow.
He said the day I left that tattoo shop with those letters on me is the day that I told myself I won't work for nobody else in my life.
Yeah.
And when I see that,
that's
what keeps me going too,
that's
bro.
Motivation.
I give motivation, but at the same time, I need motivation,
dog. Absolutely.
And I really tell my fans, like, bro, like, every comment you send to me, I read, I like, I try to respond back. I'm going to feed off of your energy just as much as you feed off of my energy, bro. Man.
Hey, did you pay attention to what Dame Dash was saying about not having a boss and being an employee? Did you see that shit?
He was on a Breakfast Club talking to them, and I think Envy said something about, well, He mentioned about working, so he's like, "Well, I don't have a boss. You have a boss.
Yeah, like
all you guys have bosses in here. I don't have a boss." So
basically,
that was his
whole
thing.
He said, "What kind of man?
A grown man.
What kind of grown ass man has a boss?
Reports to somebody."
And it's like, bro, you can't come out the uterus a boss.
Yeah, bro.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I mean. What you was just saying reminded me of that. It was more like, I just want to get your thoughts on it.
Once again, you got to pay your price.
Price of admission.
We all work for somebody. We all get coached by somebody. We all get mentored. I put a post on Twitter today. I said, don't let your ego block your greatness, because too many people are too cool to get coached and mentored, but your favorite athlete gets coached every day.
Wow. Word.
Your favorite athlete gets told what to do every day, how to do it, and then when he does it good, the coach goes, great job.
Right.
So now that motivates him.
Positive reinforcement.
You feel me? That's what people are too cool nowadays to take advice, to say, oh, he helped me with this. Nah, homie, I didn't do this on my own. I wanted this forever, but he helped. He had a part to do.
Right.
You had a part to do with it.
Right.
He had a part to do with it. Millions of people have parts to do with your success.
Got you.
Even though it came from you. You feel me?
No, absolutely.
And I feel like right now in this world, it's time to be truthful. Time to be who you are, bro. When I came in here a year ago, I told you, bro, I had a drug problem. I have depression, anxiety. I want to kill myself. A year later, I'm sitting here right now saying, hey, I'm Mexican-American. I want to be the biggest rapper in the world. Don't judge me on my race, and I'm going to keep going no matter what. Every year brings you a different journey, a different place in life, and that's what we're here today.
Absolutely, man. Now, what do you feel like, you know, since we are a year past, almost a year from when we last talked, what do you feel like the major difference is from this project? Sonically, you know, what you're talking about, what's the difference between this, the Price of Admission versus those NX Needed?
NXN opened up doors. I'm not gonna lie, bro, when I dropped that project, so many different opportunities came my way from people who mix the album, people who master the album. I mean, so the sound quality alone is on a whole nother level just because of what I did with NXN and the vulnerability and truth that I gave with that made people say, I want to work with him. Ooh. Just off of who he is.
On some right, real shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't no more, hey, well, how much money do, what's the budget? Like, right, it's like, right. Nah, bro, I feel what he's doing. Yeah. I want to be a part of this because it's history in the making. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's just what it is. From a year ago to now, if you aren't even one step above, you got to reevaluate what you're doing.
So do you think that it's the story that's more important than the talent? Or do you think the talent supersedes the story? Because I think the brand overall, is from what I'm getting from you, is when you're talking about everything that's going on, everybody's investing in you because of you know, we were even talking about it, like just the story. But do you feel like the talent has to equally match that, or does it have to, you know?
In some cases, sometimes talent could overpass the story, and sometimes the story can outshine the sound. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's like when you get both,
knock that motherfucker out the park. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's think back. Good Kid, Mad City.
Absolutely.
You got introduced to Kendrick worldwide with a story and with talent.
Yeah.
And I'm going back to that because that's our backyard. That's our roots. That's somebody we are proud of in the hip-hop and rap game, bro.
Yeah.
You know, never shook his hand, never looked him in his eye, bro. But I respect what he's done for people like me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That have a story that don't got to be... could be affiliated but not be pointed out that that's who you are
right
and still make millions and have peace in your heart and change everybody around you. You know what I'm saying? Like, he changed so many lives out here, bro.
I want to encourage everybody that's listening to this, if you're seeing this for the first time, I want you to go back and look at the documentary that Hightone put out as well, man. There was a lot of things you touched on.
Some
and thank you, first of all, thank you for including us in that. And I say that because I always tell people, when it comes down to this, you're going to be on one side of the story or the other side of the story. Yeah. And specifically with artists, you know, and I tell artists this all the time, like, don't get mad at people that shut you out. And, you know, praise people that welcome you in. Either way, they're going to be a part of your story, whether they gave you that motivation or they shut you down. You're still getting that motivation. Yeah. So I want to thank you for allowing us to be a part of your story, because I do feel like, and I'm getting chills right now thinking about history in the making. Like, this is some new shit that people aren't, really, they may not, you know, attach themselves to it just yet, but it's something they can go back and be like, damn, I remember he was starting off and, you know, he was talking about, you know, he's first and this is what's going to happen. Lie.
I was showing one of my boys your shit yesterday, like the documentary and footage and whatnot, and he was like more or less very impressed. Like, he was just like, bro, like, who is this dude? I'm like, because I was telling him about you, and he was like, damn, like, I want to fuck with this dude. Like, I want to work with him. Just from showing him, like, shit, like
the documentary.
Documentary. Like, and like you said, No Xanax Needed, that's how you got me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to, when I listened to No Xanax Needed, which was the first project that I got put up on.
Yeah.
That pretty much got everybody's attention because it was so honest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then I had to come back to you and Gentry and, like, apologize. Like, look, I'm sorry. Look.
Fucking up.
What we got to do? So I can make this shit.
Yeah, I want to be a part of the movement.
I need to be a part of this shit. So,
and that's okay, bro. Like, I'm saying we all have that. We all look at something and instantly think something right away. It's okay. Like, we're human, bro. Like, that's what we do. Like, we're trained to look at something and judge right away and go, I might not. The phrase has been around, don't judge a book by its cover, for a reason, because millions of people in this world always judge off what they first see.
Yeah.
And I've been at fault for that.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked at the trailer of a movie or a cover and be like, that shit's gonna be dumb. Yeah. And then next thing you know, it's like, bro, did you see this, bro? Right, oh my God. And call a homie up, dog, you gotta take your girl, like, whatever. Yeah. Like, I'll do that. And I appreciate heads honesty, because just that reaction is the way the whole industry has felt about me at once. You see a picture, or you see my skin color, or you see, oh, bro, he ain't from Compton. Oh, he ain't from, you know, he didn't go to prison. He don't sell drugs. He don't rap about drugs. He don't, like, all of the main things the world thinks a rapper does, I don't do.
Right.
So then they start thinking like, well, how could I like him?
I'm in the same boat as you.
He don't sell drugs, bro. He don't rap about shooting fools. He claiming blood, crip, SAA. Like, he don't, he claims hard work and passion.
Yeah.
So can I still like him? Is he still considered a rapper because he does that?
I'm confused.
Like, homie, like, bro, like I said, homie, like, we grew up, I grew up on oldies.
Mm-hmm.
If you, you grew up Marvin Gaye, you know, things like that. Like, he made music for the soul.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I make music about how I feel today, because today I could have did a tat that cost $1,500 and I feel rich.
Mm.
Right now I could feel rich. I got $15 in the pocket. Right, I can go do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Right.
Tomorrow, I don't feel rich. The money's gone. And now I make a record about feeling broke.
Got you.
And then yesterday, something happened, bro, and I feel like, and I make a record to make you cry. Like, that's what music is about, bro.
Yeah. So what do you feel like the last thing that you spent your money on that you're like, fuck, I blew that shit. What the fuck? Why'd I do that? What was the last thing that you, let's say you get $1,500 in the pocket instantly. We know you're a businessman. You're going to put it back into the business as well. You're going to reinvest. But the last purchase that you got you saying, ah, I fucked up.
I mean, honestly, bro, every day I look down at the, I just picked up a Rolex. Okay. Listen, I got fired up one day. You know, you got a partner like Steels, homie. Yeah. He's encouraging me, bro. Like, hey, Tone, no Xanax. You just came off of this, homie, POA about a drop,
let's go
homie.
Get the Rollies.
Hey, we got to get the Rollies, bro, because when we're standing next to, when we stand next to Russell Simmons, homie, and Puff Daddy, we want to be looking right on the wrist, right?
So
then there's all these thoughts like, you know what, homie? Hell yeah, I deserve a damn Rolex, bro.
I need a Rolex. Got,
bro, this and that, and then you go and spend it, and then my conscience hits me like,
fuck.
Bro, like, do you know what I could have done with that money?
Hey, yeah, you fucked up. What?
You know what I'm saying?
But, okay, so look, let me ask you this. At what point,
when you handing the money over?
You know where I'm going. So you let Steels fire you up. You let the homie put a battery in your back. Y'all go buy the Rolexes, right? At what point do you look at your wrist and like, okay, I fucked up. Or maybe I could have did some other shit with this Rolex money. Every time you look at it.
I did that today. Because, like, I was, like, looking like I don't want to be late. And then I'm like, I can't believe I got a Rolex on my wrist, bro. Hey, like, when some people, you know, don't even got shoes on their feet. But at the end of the day, I worked for this, homie. I worked for this. Like, I can't be mad at myself because I treated myself to what I feel I deserve.
Fairness. Hey, hard work pays off.
Hard work pays off. I just got my mom a car, bro.
Oh,
next, my next thing is about to get my mom a house house. My mom's getting a house.
Yeah.
And I know what I want to do with my money, with charity, with different things in the school program. So just because I got a Rolly don't mean I'm not doing that.
Right, absolutely.
I know what I want to do when I get big money.
I do want to talk about that, too, because I think you came on after... Before that whole thing went down, like, I know you got a girl and all that, but buying moms a car shoots your box rate through the ceiling. Like, I'm talking about, like, when you surprise moms on camera with a car, you could damn near knock any woman. Like, you can have any woman. You can have a harem of women at your disposal. It's like, look.
Unlimited boxes.
Because, like, that touches every girl.
Yeah.
From fucking here to here. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think, like, I mean, on some real shit, aside from the bullshit, that's, like, really dope. Like, that's some really dope shit. I think everybody kind of, like, rallied around when you did that.
Yeah.
And to publicize some shit like that, only because I think it's important to do shit like that. Most people would be like, oh, I don't want to, like, if they think it's braggadocious or they think, like, I'm flossing, I think it's important to do that because then you put that seed in somebody else's mind. Like, oh, shit, that's what you do. Where, you know, everybody running around with the money phones.
I mean,
and, you know, shit like that where it's like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
So I think that it's important to put that out there.
It's a balance.
The same way people put out the Gucci belts and this and that, I think you should put shit out there like that. So
definitely,
I think that is dope.
Homie, I see my mom drive a bucket for... My mom has had some of the worst cars you could ever think of, bro. Like, to the point where I wouldn't even be caught driving it because I would just feel like I'm not a man if I'm driving this.
There's
no way I can...
Mine too,
You know what I'm saying? Like... And when I did that on Christmas, it was just like, it was a goal that I've had for 15 years to say, this is the least I could do for you, Mom.
Yeah, this you.
Like, I want you to go back and forth to work safe. Like, how am I going to pull off in a Cadillac or a new whip and see my mom drive a bucket? Like, I even said that in this new, like, I got some bars in this new album that's going to make you really think, like, how is that even right, dog?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how could you even have that money in the bank and not think you could help some sort of organization? Some sort of, you know, I understand there's family members that sit here and want and want and want. And the minute you blow, they ask for this. But it's like, there's a lot of millionaires out here, bro, that don't help a soul. Oh,
absolutely. Hell yeah.
You feel me? And that ain't going to be me, I'll tell you that.
Now, one thing I got to get an update on, because it was one of the most touching points in the interview that I felt when we last talked. And you were talking about how you were in a bar and you look over and it, because it was your dad, like a couple of seats down, right?
Shit.
And he didn't recognize you. I think that was the story. He didn't recognize you at that point. And talk about that. Talk about what the follow-up from that. Do you guys have a relationship at this point? You know, what's going on with that situation? Obviously, things are picking up with yourself.
I mean, it's weird, bro, because it's something that I feel like became so numb for me, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I feel like a lot of people in this world, like, feel this way and go through this. Like, I won't ever forget that, bro. Let me give you some game, bro. Like, there's this saying that I had just learned, bro. There's, like, it's, you have to get past what you can't forget. Now let's rewind. You have to learn how to get past what you can't forget, because a lot of people want to forget things. A lot of people want to sit here and go, that really didn't happen. No,
right.
Like, I didn't do, no.
You're suppressing
it. It's like a scar, dog. Yeah. Okay, look, when you get a scar, that scar's never disappearing.
Right,
right.
You're going to look at that scar and it will never be gone, but you're going to forget what that pain felt like.
Right.
You're going to get past
perfect
how
analogy.
It felt that day you got that cut.
Yeah.
Because you might have been,
bleeding
but
all the
night. It's a scar and you got past it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm just getting past that pain. I'm not going to forget about it, but I'm getting past it, bro. And I'm using that as, like, when I become a dad, I hope that never happens to me. I hope I don't ever do that. And, like, I hope dads that are listening right now could say, man, I got a son out there.
Right,
I'm going to call him.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? And I hope my story can motivate not just children, but men, too, that have kids that aren't seeing their kids. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't forget that. It makes me sad at night. It makes, you know, sometimes I see a picture and I want to cry. Like,
right, right.
You know, sometimes I got a comment the other day saying, didn't he, you know, my dad showed up to a release party.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And he literally parked his car, came up to me and said, you're doing good for yourself, huh? And I'm like, man, I guess, like, I'm just working just like everybody else. And he goes, you should help your sister. Like, you should help out your sister. Like, right. Like, what you mean, help out my sister? Like,
right.
Why don't you help the pain I have about with you?
Let's deal with that.
Why don't you tell me, hey, let's get a beer and grab a pizza and talk about why we don't got a relationship? Why I live 3 blocks from you and didn't see you? Like, why?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's, man, it's just trippy, bro. Life pulls you in different directions, but that never made me stop, bro. None of this pain ain't going to make me stop. None of this, you know what I'm saying, doubt is ever going to make me stop. It's going to be continued to be used as motivation.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad you mentioned that as well, man. One thing that we talk about, or we talked about on the last podcast with our homegirl, Alex, that I think it's not mentioned too much in hip-hop. I think we're getting a little more now, but I want you to kind of use this platform and your stance on it. I mean, you've done it with the last project, but mental health and hip hop, you know what I'm saying? Why is it important for cats to start mentioning, yo, I'm depressed.
You spoke on it in your freestyle with Sway too, with the Kid Cudi situation.
Yeah. When he said he had
some mental health issues, but go ahead.
Yeah. This industry is going to tug and pull and drain every ounce of soul out of you, bro. Like,
right. They gonna try you.
People do not understand, homie. All they see is the videos and the women in the videos and the clubs you're hosting and the concerts you're selling out and the new car you get and the people around you and the gear you wear, bro. But they don't realize, like, what it does to your mind, what it does to your soul, what it does to your heart, bro. Yeah. Because all the It took 1,000 no's to get one yes.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Just that alone will make someone go crazy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. Like, people lose their mind over a girl that don't like them, dog. Could you imagine the industry that don't
right,
like you?
Right,
right.
And
everybody
you pay all the, you do everything you possibly can, bro. Every dollar you make, you spend into this passion. Every second of the day that you think about it, you go to sleep, you eat it, you wake up to it, and it's like, when it doesn't give you back what you feel you deserve, bro, you want to off yourself.
Mm.
And a lot of these fans, I mean, a lot of these artists isn't just in that form. It's the concerts. It's the exhaustion. It's the drugs. It's the partying. It's the money. It's the all
fame.
The responsibility
a
that
drug.
Gets to you, bro. And I feel like all artists deal with some sort of mental problems, but they just don't share it. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of the most dopest artists that make nothing but party music probably
suffering.
Have some sort of dark place that we don't know about.
Suffering.
Hey, why do you think that most artists want to glamorize everything and not really be, is it a vulnerability thing?
No, it's just, it's cool to be rich. It's cool to have everything. It's cool
so
to
it's
never have a bad
or validation.
Day. Yeah, it's
and you
it's,
can't even put that just on artists. I mean, you look at social media. We glamorize the highlights of our lives.
Everything, versus, homie. Versus, you don't see anybody crying on Instagram. When you don't do that, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. If you follow me on Snap, dog, there's days where I would sit back, dog, and I get a call from Gentry and said, bro, this dude, Sway, wants to get you on the show. And I cry in Snapchat and say, I'm crying because I'm happy, but I'm crying because it took so long.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just because I'm a man doesn't mean I don't shed tears.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, too many, this world is all based on perception, artist development, dog. This has been starting for a decade, homie.
Yeah.
Years and years of life. Let's make you the perfect artist. You got to look like this, dress like this,
yeah.
Act like this, say this on interviews. Like, and if you don't do that, then we're done with you. We're going to shelf you. Like, it's been put in artists' head that we got to be perfect.
Mm. Very true.
We
I don't think
you.
It's just artists though. Like he was saying, I think it's everybody.
It's everybody.
Yeah. Because I think I was just having this conversation before, and to get your opinion on it, going based on what you said about like art, like artists, right? And you coming from an artist perspective, you have to be this. You got to be entertaining. You got to be fly. You got to be lyrical. You have to be party. You got to be, you know, like all this shit. But then you also look at, we're a slave to vanity.
Yeah.
Like, I was talking to my homegirl about this, and I don't want to put her out on blast, but most of my friends, most of my female friends who post those pictures, I call them ads. So I might, if you ever see me post some shit, I'm on somebody comment and just hashtag ad, that's because the picture has no purpose. It's literally just, you're just advertising yourself.
Yeah.
So I always go in out like the selfies.
You
and
put the ad in there.
The selfies and the fucking.
I'm going to start peeping that shit now. I never
on everything. It'd be the selfies.
What you selling?
What are you selling?
Right, yeah. Right.
So my thing is like, oh, I was telling. What I was trying to explain to her, I said, you're a slave to vanity. And she's like, what you mean? And we got a heated argument because most people don't like to be told about themselves. And especially when you have insecurities and somebody calls out your insecurity, that's a big no-no.
Yeah.
And I think that social media and where we at right now in a society is like everybody basically covers up their insecurities. And that's why you saying like, oh, I'm gonna express this on Snap. Mm. Or I'm gonna express this on Instagram. Right. Or like, I have pain. Like, for you to say that, that speaks volume about your character.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people bury that shit in the backyard under a tree and put a tarp over it, then build a pool on top of that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Band-aid over band-aid over band-aid over band-aid.
Yeah.
Bro.
And what happens
with a band-aid?
That
you wear it too long, the shit peels off.
Yeah.
And then what happens when the shit peels off?
Shit is exposed.
The cut is exposed again.
Exposed again, yeah. I think a lot of people are getting exposed, though, based on when you, like, a lot of people, they go to the block feature, or they don't address this or address that, and I think that's the wrong way to go about it. Like, so to get your opinion on it, do you think that there's a correlation between the pressure from not just the industry, because you're an artist, but I'm talking about society,
the world,
it's a pressure to be perfect. Like, to look a certain way. Like, for women, they have to look, they have to have their hair done all the time.
Everything in this world is like a competition. Why? Because everybody wants to gossip and talk shit about everything they can.
Yeah.
So they're going to gossip and talk shit about you whether you are doing good or whether you're doing bad.
Yeah.
So you might as well just be who you are going to be, because they are going to talk about you regardless.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Whether they like you or hate you, they're going to say something about high tone, something about head. Cuphead, something about Chuck Dizzle, something about Homegrown. You could have the best ratings in the world on Homegrown, and there's going to be somebody around the corner saying, well, did you know when they first started that? It's like, like, bro, like, so might as well just be you.
Real shit,
and
I
that's
did
it.
That shit today.
100%.
I just did that shit today. This is a singer named Danny Lay from Florida.
Shout out to Danny.
She her music is incredible, and she's perfect in damn near every way. So I just told her, fuck your teeth.
She got found perfect. Something wrong.
Yeah, no, I heard about I heard that because I got, you know, they didn't like my song either on there. So everyone got their opinions,
that's
bro.
Right, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, bro, like, exactly. like that's just what it is, homie. Like, I can't please everyone in this world, homie.
No, but you shouldn't try, though. I like that viewpoint where I think that people, like, for the most part, are a slave to this shit.
Yeah.
And I think it's so free. The reason why I'm talking about it is because you brought it up. I was having this conversation. I think it's, you feel free. Because I feel like people think, oh, heads and assholes. Like, I'm free, though.
But you're an asshole, though.
Yeah, you're
an asshole.
But I'm free.
Yeah, you're free,
oh, you know when you're walking in the room, head's about to tell you something, bro.
Exactly. It's some
that's
bullshit.
That's just head, bro.
It's some bullshit that's coming along.
Why I got to use bullshit, though?
It's some bullshit, but you free with it. It's cool.
No, I feel free as fuck.
Yeah, you're a that bird right that. Now. You're like a black dove flying.
Right. Black dove?
Is it a black dove?
The black ass dove. A black dove is a pigeon, by the way. So you a pigeon, motherfucker.
Wow. Hey, you know, we should start doing that.
Oh,
we should, like, you know how different chicks, like, we could put pictures up and which bird they would never mind.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing. So head fucked up again earlier before we started. This fool, and we'll talk about this too.
Let's talk about
he
it.
He thought fucking Sammy Sosa was Cuban.
You gonna talk about this shit?
He thought he swore up and down Sammy Sosa was Cuban. I'm like, bro, he's Dominican. He's like, nah, man, he Cuban. I'm like, bro, he's Dominican. Nah, he's Cuban.
So what'd you go on Google?
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, Google that shit.
Well, listen, he's Sammy Dominican, Sosa. Bro. Listen, dog. Fuck Chuck.
Just saying.
Okay. I'm starting the fuck Chuck movement. Everybody go hashtag fuck Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
You know
bro.
What we're doing? That's what we're doing.
So, anyway, Sammy Sosa's Dominican.
Okay.
Yeah. I haphazardly mistook him. Whatever the fuck the past tense
of mistake. Keep it going. Listen, what?
Mistook.
Okay. That's what we're doing, huh?
Mistaken. I mistaken him.
Oh my God, this is going nowhere fast. Right.
How the fuck do you say the past tense of mistake?
Oh my cat, right now.
I accidentally
called him.
There we go.
Cuban.
Throw him that line.
I thought he was Cuban, but he's really Dominican. Let's just go elementary with it.
God,
like.
Break it down to the simple.
I wanted to use a conjugation of mistake.
Yeah, you just God damn it. That all up,
so anyway, man. I thought the motherfucker was
not.
Cuban.
Okay.
And now, he's Dominican, and I corrected my shit.
Well, we got all into that. We kind of got sidetracked, but we got all into that because speaking of something that hasn't happened in fucking such a long time in the Dodgers in the World
Series. Yo, Dodgers,
man.
Los Dodgers.
29 years, baby.
How you feel about of what's going on, man? Right now, it's currently 1-1. You know, it's tied up. What do you think is going to take
place? You see me. We lost a horrible game yesterday.
Man, that shit was
and
that
I'm
hurt.
Still wearing the Dodger
gotta
blue,
rep,
baby.
Gotta
Why?
Rep.
Because we ain't losing no more.
Predictions. What's your predictions at this point?
I say we win two over there. They win one, which will make the series 3-2.
Okay.
And then we finish a game six in L.A.
And home.
Where it should finish.
Got you. A lot of people saying game six.
You know what I'm saying? I just feel like the city will just erupt.
Oh, that should be crazy.
And I hope it doesn't get to where it normally gets to in the Staples Center and on the
floor. They was letting off shots when game one they won that shit. I live in Carson.
Yeah.
And they was letting off shots over there. Yeah. So, I mean.
Hey, listen, man.
Can y'all keep it safe? Can we keep it safe? Dodger fans, please, can we please keep it safe? It's going to get crazy.
Let's have fun,
man,
bro. Like, the goal is to bring more revenue to the city and to bring more positive energy to the city. It isn't to break in stores and steal what some dude worked 20 years to get and what survived, what his family survives off of. Like that just don't make sense to me.
Right.
And I'm going to say it. I don't care if you've done it before. I don't care what, like, if you get mad at me or not. But, like, I'm not going to win the World Series in Game 6 and go break in that dude's store over there and that's what his kids eat off of.
Right. Very
that's
true.
Just not what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? So if I have any voice in this city or, you know, any type of, you know, leverage in that, then I'm going to just say, take a couple shots. You know what I'm saying? Make
of
yourself
alcohol,
a Michi,
of
homie.
Alcohol.
Take,
right?
take a couple shots of your favorite
drink,
liquor.
Right.
Make you a little Michi. Put some meat on the grill, bro. Snapchat, Instagram, LA is live, and that's it, bro.
Absolutely, man.
Hey, go ahead.
No, I was about to say that, because that, you, instead of something on the wrist, you could have got some tickets, bro. You know what I'm saying? Maybe to the game. I'm just, I'm gonna make you think about that too, man. Maybe the, you know, the next.
Now
little...
them World Series tickets is high as a motherfucker.
Oh yeah, bro.
I saw some shit on there. How much? Look crazy as fuck. I saw some shit like 9,000. It's for the nosebleed.
Oh, bro, shit, where do you think Justin Timberlake was sitting? How much you think his ticket was?
I don't know how much.
It had to be like fucking 50.
I saw some. I heard. I saw some shit. It was about 9,000.
Somebody
I
Google
heard
that
some shit.
Shit
was somebody up
Google
to like
that.
20 G's.
Google front. Fuck.
No, 18 G's. Like 18,000 for just to get in?
What?
My niece,
hold on, Luke.
My nieces and my brother went last night, and my sisters, they spend with my two nieces itself. I think it was like 11,000 for both.
11,000.
Man, see that's that.
They sat right behind where the home runs go. I think.
Oh, the pavilion. Yeah.
Pavilion.
Damn,
they set
bro.
The pavilion for 11 racks.
But listen, this city has been waiting. Sporting events are so huge. Sports are so big to us. We feel like we are a part of the team.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, if you have the means to do it, and you feel like this is gonna be a memory in your life for you and your family, spend the bread to do it. Like,
yo, shouts to our guy Tony that works over at iHeart. He basically said he was there the last round, like one in 88, right?
Okay.
And I guess he came up on some tickets this go-round. I think it's his daughter or somebody. And he was like, man, as excited as I am, as I wanted to go, I told her to take her son because this is a memory that he's going to, you know.
The same memory he had.
Exactly. And I fucked with that so hard. Yeah, I'm like, yo, that's dope as fuck, man. This is something that he had been waiting for so long.
Bro.
He knows he's not in, I mean, knock on wood. He's like, man, this probably won't happen again in my lifetime. But I'm going to set that aside so my grandson can have this memory.
Bro.
And that's just so dope. But it shows that, yo, these are the things that it's that important to people. You know what I'm saying? And I totally understand.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's why she spent that 11,000.
Go Dodgers,
go
baby.
Dodgers,
let's go.
Man.
We need one for the city.
So, let's say you got the means to do it. Do you spend the bread to go? I mean, I know you got the means to do it. I'm saying, let's say it's 25 racks. You plus one. To go and have that experience. Game 7.
Game 6. No, this is the one they're going to win, right? Game 6.
Yeah.
You know they're going to win in
like,
LA.
You're asking me who I'm taking or what am I doing with it?
What are you doing with it?
You got the means. Game 6. World Series. In LA.
You guys are putting me on the hot spot, bro.
You got it. But you know, once you get it, it's like, but you got it. Same situation as the Rolex, right? Whatever the amount is, you got it to do it, but you know that every time you look up, it's like, fuck, I purchased that ticket.
Bro, I don't even know who I would give that ticket to. The selfish part of me is going to want to say I would probably want to just take me and my lady because that's something we can share together for the rest of our lives. Even though she's a Chicago Cubs fan, I would want to prove to her that LA fans are better and that she would have to definitely turn into an LA Dodger fan after that day.
That moment, huh?
That day, yeah.
Can you imagine? What if you wanted to share that moment with her, right? So you dropped the 25 racks to take your girl to the fucking Game 6. You know they're going to bring it home. You know they're going to win. And she wears a fucking Chicago jersey.
Wait.
But then they like, yeah, we got high tone in the bit. And they pan to you on the Jumbotron. And you sitting there like an asshole.
That's the Heisman Trophy, bro.
Right.
On the big screen. Just,
I'll explain this later.
And you sitting there with your girl.
Bro, let me tell you, bro. And that isn't far-fetched because we'll go to the game, bro.
Oh, man.
And she'll yell, fumble.
No.
But just because she wants to play games with me, bro, like, I'm with this girl that don't even know
she
the difference
fumble.
Between a foul ball and a fumble. Like,
oh, my God.
She be doing some wild bro.
God.
Like, she knows what really pushes my buttons, dog. And when it comes to sports, bro.
Hey, no, I'm glad you said that because I want to get into this real quick. When's the last time you lost your shit?
Oof.
Because you are always on. You like me. You always level-headed. You get agitated. But I'm talking about lost it.
All right. I'm going to be definitely 100% real. Like, 2 months ago, I'm in between. I have the busiest week of my life. I'm shooting the Voice video. I'm shooting the Miyagi video. My girl randomly wants to tell me she wants to go to the court and get married Wednesday. Then I have the documentary shoot Thursday, Friday, and then we had a vacation to PV in Mexico on Saturday. So think about this week I got going on here. Biggest point of my career, right. POA dropping 2 big videos, documentary. Wants to get married Wednesday, vacation Saturday, and I got to be home Monday or whatever, a couple days after. So I'm doing all of this, bro, and I just lose my, like, I literally lose my mind, bro.
And, you just lost it.
And I just, like, we get in the biggest fight of our lives.
Wow.
We break up for 2 months.
Get the fuck out of here.
We don't go on a $5,000 vacation.
Get the
fuck. We
it was already paid for?
Done. I lost it, homie.
Oh, no. We going on this fucking vacation. Hey, we going to be roommates.
And I'm just being 100% real because I'm normal. People fight, get in arguments, lose their shit. I'm normal, homie. Like I
know.
Like this is just showing you, like, just because I'm an artist and I got this going, I get in arguments, I lose my shit. I lost it, bro, because the pressure of this wanting POA to be so perfect and the videos and everything I got going on, biggest platform of my life, and then to throw a wedding, but the wedding is really deserved because she's been sticking with my side tent. I just lost it, bro. Yeah. I didn't know how to deal with it, and the first thing I canceled was not the videos. Was the court?
Was the wedding? Hell yeah!
And then that goes to show you, like, well, what's really more important?
Hell yeah!
And then you start battling with that, like,
hell yeah,
damn, am I fucked up for this? Like, is
you second guess everything?
Yeah.
It's at the end of the day, it's just like, this is gonna show you I'm not detouring from my dreams, dog. I'm gonna continue no matter what, dog. Like, because once I get my dreams, I could change everybody's life.
Wait, you said
it's bigger than you.
You said this was about 2 months ago, right?
Yeah.
You said you guys been broke up for 2 months.
We were 10 years, first time in our lives broken up, 2 months.
Really?
Wait, 2 months ago?
Yeah, maybe a month ago.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out, y'all still broke up or y'all together?
No.
Y'all back together? Okay. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute.
You know, it's just...
I got you.
It's complicated.
But at the end of the day, like, it's... Sometimes things happen for a reason, bro. And then I started overthinking, like, man, if this is happening, don't force it, because what if I wasn't supposed to go to Mexico?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And when you really have faith and you really believe that things all happen for a reason, and it eases you into different little stages of your life, bro. Right, because I could have been mad and lost the 5K, but I'm like, but I have my life.
Absolutely.
What if I wasn't supposed to go, on the earthquake and this and this happened and that happened? Right. And it's like, well, bro, we broke up for a reason. And we didn't do this for a reason, because there's gonna be more and better opportunities.
Oh my god, damn.
All right, now listen, I'm with you.
So I lost my shit, bro.
I'm 100% with you on the faith. I'm one of those people who, at this point in my life, I just surrender to the universe. I just swim with the current. I don't even swim no more. I just let the current take me wherever I'm supposed to be going. But motherfucking
you coming on that goddamn trip.
But somebody going to Mexico. I don't give a fuck who it is. You know what I'm saying?
Fool, dog.
You know what? I would have gave you the trip, but they wouldn't let me transfer the
name.
It's still
You
can't transfer the name, Tony.
Let me tell you something.
It'd have been Tony Van Damme.
Somebody going to fucking goddamn Mexico. You know what I'm saying? It's like 5 racks?
Man.
Somebody going to take this trip.
Bro,
I'm telling you right now, I'd have auctioned that. I'd have did something. Sold that motherfucker on Instagram Live.
Bro,
everybody get on Instagram Live right now.
Who has the name Tony Valenzuela? Because I need to use your ID for the plane ticket. Like,
some real shit.
All of that and some.
Hey, you know what? Sidebar, real quick. The homie tried to do that one time. Shout out to the homie Meskin Mo. We had a plane ticket, right? We had a plane ticket. The homie Meskin Mo from Athens. We had a plane ticket, and we told him to come to Salt Lake. The plane ticket was in the other homie's name. It was like, it'll be cool. We actually talked him into going to the airport. He's Mexican. I'm talking about for real Mexican.
Yeah.
And flying under the name. You don't even want to know. It was a super urban black name.
What was it?
Huh?
What was it?
I don't want to put his own out there like that.
Gotcha.
So, because if I say it, people will know. But we... under for a rapper, right? We doing some rap shit.
Yeah.
Come to Salt Lake. He went to the fucking airport at Los Angeles International. Now this ain't Long Beach, Burbank.
Yeah.
This he went is, to LA. It's the real shit.
Yeah.
So he's up there and they detained this nigga.
Oh shit.
Not
who you say you are.
Because he up there trying. He first of all, you're Mexican. You flying in with a black name, and you don't have no ID because he couldn't take his ID, right?
Yeah. Because
so he and he don't got no bags because it's a turnaround trip.
Where are you going, bro? Like, who are you running from, and why are you leaving?
They put him in secondary screening. You know that little area? Can you sit here? So they set him down.
Sit your ass down.
Sit your ass down right here. Then they kept asking him questions because they ran the name in the system. Who's your mom? Shit, I don't even remember her name like that.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't answer no questions about his mother and all that kind
of stuff.
Like, so they took him to the other room.
Oh, he's
you know, that's the other room. That's the feds. They finna watch him. They finna watch him. So one of the TSA people leave the room to go get the agents or whoever they went to go get. This motherfucker calls us. We thinking his plane landing because it's been hours. We think his plane landed like he come get him from the airport. Like, yo, where you at? Yo, I'm running down Century.
What the fuck?
Somebody come get me now.
He took off running out of the airport.
they didn't catch him?
No.
Oh, he's a G, bro.
Hey, he ran from fucking TSA.
Yo,
bro,
I don't know how.
Let me tell you something.
They got millions of people on. Yeah. Hey, he's going down the
I asked him, I'm like, how the fuck did you get out of LAX? Yeah. You're by yourself on foot running. He said ran all the way around, like down through arrivals and out the airport to the side or some shit and got in a taxi or something.
He's
and just
lucky.
Said, go.
He's
and,
lucky.
And the taxi let him out somewhere on Century. He running up the street.
Oh, that's lucky. That's one of them Al Bundy stories.
And I'm like, bro.
You tell for the rest of your life.
I'm sorry, that was a sidebar, but I forgot about that was the, and we were like, what are you doing? He's out of breath. He's like, bro, I'm running down Century.
He's a G,
what the
bro.
Fuck is wrong with you?
He's a G, bro.
Real quick, before we end off, I do want to talk about this one thing. I don't know if you're familiar with, well, I know you're familiar with him, but M's dropping his new album soon. Have you seen the marketing campaign that's been put towards it so far?
Man, I've been so consumed, bro, but.
That's fine. I'm going to explain, all right? Okay. So his manager gets on Instagram, posts a picture of Yellow Wolf's album, says Yellow Wolf's album's coming soon, blah, 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 blah. In the back, there's a billboard ad. I guess it's in New York somewhere with something called, I think it's called
Revival.
Revival. And it's like a fake drug ad. And it has the Eminem logo, the Revive, the E backwards or whatever. I guess obviously people on Instagram, a lot of people going crazy. You can look at it. Well, show them the actual. Can you look at the Instagram post? Anyway, people been researching this shit. There's actually a whole website dedicated to it. Instagram, Interscope owns the actual website. It looks something so harmless, but it's actually a campaign for Eminem's new album. Oh, and I think that's just so fucking genius because you would never even think about it. Like, if you saw the post itself.
That is so dope, bro.
I have it right here.
Pull it up. Show them real
again,
quick.
Once again, let me just say one word or one name. Jimmy Iovine.
Exactly. Exactly.
We all seen the Defiant Ones.
Bruh.
We know they are the moguls of this marketing in this hip hop community.
Look at that shit. So look at that. It doesn't even show. And a lot of people were still at this point because it's so fresh. A lot of people were.
It's just a picture of fucking the CD of like of the view looking.
It's that right there.
Is
Yellow Wolf CD. He's promoting Yellow Wolf CD, but in the back is that banner, that ad.
So who would have thought to like, hey, bro, I want to know what that means.
Exactly. So everybody now, what most people thought was, okay, it's just chance or whatever. No, that actual site, there's like commercials and all that shit too. It's still early. I get all, I'm saying all that to say how dope this is, the way he's rolling out his album. And I feel like that's, like the way people are doing shit now, you gotta be next level with your shit. You know what I'm saying? So next level with it, where it's like, damn, this is fucking.
Well, I
crazy.
Got something special for you guys with Miyagi coming up.
Word.
So you guys will be getting a nice little gift in the next, you know, 3 weeks, and you're gonna go back to like, damn, you did the pill bottle tone.
That's what I had to exactly.
I had to, if not match it, up that, bro, and be like, This dude is continuing to just set the bar for for independent artists with no machine behind them, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if I could do it, then why can't you think about it and you got millions of dollars behind you? Why? Because you don't care.
Exactly.
Why? Because you're letting other people take control of who you are supposed to want to be.
Right. And I'm glad you connected those dots, because that's what I kind of wanted to end off with, as far as the way we got introduced to you before, the way you presented yourself. I literally saw people at the station. I'm talking about Real 92.3. When you drop those pills off, at that point, you getting the attention of certain people to say, oh, I want to give this a shot to listen to.
Yeah.
Radio personalities, DJs, we get CDs, we get all types of shit every single day. And I say that to say, like, you have to be next level with your shit, and that speaks volumes of who you are as an artist. What we're looking for towards this next go round on what you got going on, I want you to take this opportunity to definitely plug when Price of Admission comes out. Any other thing you want to let people know what's going on with High Tone, and you know, obviously let the folks know what's going on.
Yeah, so POA will drop December 15th. The pre-order link is already you know, there. So I would just tell everybody out there, bro, go and pre-order POA. It Please. Instantly unlocks three songs: The Voice, The Gossip, and Mr. Miyagi.
Okay.
And I mean, if you ain't seen The Voice documentary, all you gotta do is, man, just search High Tone and really just dive into what I'm talking about and what kind of person I am. Amazing. And if you love it, you know, go support it. If not, maybe support it next year when you feel like I've leveled up. But right now, we're pushing POA, and the pre-order link is available everywhere, bro. And that's what I would just suggest you do. Listen to those three songs, and if you become a fan, then support me. If not, then go listen to it free on any other site.
And you linked up with Empire this go around, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Shout out Ghazi. Shout out Nima. Nima.
Man. Yeah,
you know,
man.
Shout out Empire.
Amazing,
you know,
bro.
They are definitely leveling the bar up as it comes to,
know,
independent distribution, bro, because they are giving artists like me that nobody gave a shot to, and or people wanted to give a shot to, that would always tell me, but we don't know where to place you. We don't know what to do with you. Like, there's no blueprint for you yet, Tone. We have nothing to gauge off of here in L.A. and you being Mexican. And what should we do with this guy? Wow. Well, check it out. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do with myself, and then you might jump back on the train. You know what I'm saying? So
that's, maybe you can that's, pay that price of admission.
That's,
you know
what it saying? Is, man. Shout out to Empire all day.
Love. Hey, I just pre-ordered the Price of Admission right now. I do want to say that I've heard a lot of the project. Actually, did I hear the whole thing? I heard most of it.
Yeah.
I heard most of the project, and it's just as, it's on that same level, or if not better than the No Xanax Needed.
Wow.
So if you fuck with that shit, you definitely gonna fuck with this shit.
Yeah.
Bro. Looking forward to hearing it. Looking forward to seeing what you got coming up that's real special, man. Going to support my man.
Oh.
Go ahead.
And I wasn't supposed to, and that, well, I'm sure it will be, but the Roxy, I'm gonna sell out the Roxy November 29th, which is a Wednesday, the days nobody wants to perform in Hollywood. I'm going to perform there. We are going to sell it out, and we are going to bring energy to Hollywood that ain't been there for a long time.
That's the day before Thanksgiving, right?
That's the a couple days after Thanksgiving.
Oh, is it? Wait,
so
is
you
it?
Eat your turkey,
boom,
you have a couple days off, and then Wednesday comes, and you vibe out midday week, and then boom, you're off on Saturday again.
My guy, man. High Tone. Always a pleasure
to
see you.
High Tone.
Top of the food chain. Represent.
Hey, also, I do want to say that High Tone is one of my favorite new artists.
That's big, man, because you don't like nobody.
I don't really fuck with nobody.
I'm glad you said it that way.
I personally...
Dude. I love you for that, bro, honestly.
Real
and
shit.
I know you ain't just going to gas me, because ain't high. He'll tell you, Tone, that shit's whack over there, bro.
Exactly.
So, that, honestly, that means a lot to me, because there's a million talented artists in L.A.
Yeah.
And for someone like Head that has a big influence in this West Coast, you know, hip-hop, you know, industry, those words give me motivation.
Yeah, man.
West Coast.
All love, man. It's Homegrown Radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head, High Tone.
Boy.
Catch y'all next time.
Boy.
Y'all.